Well, who is next to be inducted into the Hall of Faith? The next man that is mentioned is also called the father of the faith, and that man is Abraham. If you'd open up to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 8 through 10 this morning, and we're going to spend a little extra time on Abraham because there's a lot in the Word of God that is mentioned about Abraham. Even in the book of Hebrews, the writer devotes a lot of space just to this man, Abraham. And not only the book of Hebrews, but if you go to books like Romans and Galatians, you'll see Abraham mentioned as a prime example of what true faith ought to look like. Well, let's look at verses 8 through 10 this morning. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Well, a major theme in the New Testament is this, and that is, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. There's an old song that went like that. Unfortunately, in our day, there are many who will invest all of their energies into making this world their home. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you go out and you sell your houses and maybe, you know, we pitch some tents in the back of the church here. We have a little Christian faith chapel commune. I'm not saying that at all. There's nothing sinful or evil about having a home, having a dwelling place. In fact, you can glorify God in the home that God has given you. It's a good thing to have a home. But let me just ask you this question. What, quote, home do you desire more? This earthly home or your heavenly home? The things of this world or the things of God? The writer of Hebrews gives us some powerful words into Abraham's faith. And when we look at Abraham's faith, we see that it was a living faith, wasn't it? It wasn't a dead faith. It was a live faith. It was a moving faith. Literally, a moving faith, wasn't it? Because God said, "Abraham, I want you to go." And he got up and went. Well, let's journey back in time to the days of Abraham. If you turn back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, we find the account of Abraham and his life and God's call to him. Actually, I'd like you to begin in Genesis 11, if you turn to Genesis 11 first, just to get a little historical background of where we're at. If you remember last week, we talked about Noah. And of course, after the flood came, there were only how many people on the earth? Eight, right? It was Noah, his wife, Noah's three sons, and their wives. And God gave Noah and his family the command, just like Adam and Eve, to be fruitful and multiply. And they did a real good job at that. Well, if you were to look at Noah's family tree and map it out, you would find between Noah and Abraham, there were about 10 generations that existed. And about halfway between Noah and Abraham, after about five generations, we hear of the earth being divided, or what we see in Genesis 11 as the Tower of Babel. And I just want to read this kind of a background into the life of Abraham. Again, this would have been five generations before Abraham existed. 1 through 4 says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" Well, God would eventually confuse or confound the language, that one language, and cause many languages. And that's why we have diverse languages today. And he would scatter the people throughout the earth, as we read in Genesis 11. And now, after five more generations, we find God's call to Abraham. If you look with me in chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, it says, "The Lord had said to Abram. Abram is also another name for Abraham. We see that God would change Abram's name to Abraham later on in Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Before we get into Abraham's faith, I just want you to notice the great contrast in chapter 11 and chapter 12, and that is the difference between what the world planned to do and then what God planned to do. Two major differences we see in Genesis 11, 4. It says, "The people said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens.' But yet Abraham was looking forward to a city whose designer and whose builder was God." Do you notice the great contrast there? And there's a difference between worldly thinking and godly thinking. And that's what we have in this passage. Worldly thinking says, "I can do everything in my strength. Let me use my muscles. Let me use my wisdom and my wit. Let my plans accomplish my will," is the world's way of thinking. But godly thinking says, "What I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. God, apart from you, I have nothing." Right? That's the great difference. There, we can look to the world to build our lives, or we can look to God to build our lives. The second contrast we notice is this. It says, "The people said, 'So we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" Worldly thinking says, "Let the glory go to me. Let me just grab a little bit of the limelight. Let me just draw a little bit of the attention to me. How can I get noticed in life?" But godly thinking says, "You know what? It's not about me, is it? It's about Christ. It's about Christ in me. And God, I want you to be glorified in my life." And even in pain and suffering for the Christian, we say, "God, would you be glorified? Please be glorified. Shine through me." Well, as we look at these two opposite ways of thinking, I just want to pause for a moment and ask you a question. Which side of the fence do you find yourself lining up on? The worldly thinking that is self-reliant and proud, or godly side that is God-reliant and is humble and looks to the Lord? Well, let's look at Abraham's faith. By now, many of you should have Hebrews 11:1 memorized, right? Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Well, does Abraham have genuine, true faith? Absolutely, doesn't he? We see this in his life. God says to Abraham, "I want you to go and leave." And Abraham gets up and he goes. He does what the Lord asks of him. He obeys the voice of the Lord. And it really didn't matter where Abraham was headed, so long as he knew who it was he was following. And that was the mindset of Abraham. He had true, genuine faith. And perhaps there have been times in your life when God has moved you from point A to point B. Maybe it hasn't been from one city to another city, but maybe there's just been a situation in your life where God has moved you, and your faith has been tested, and you've had to trust in the Lord. Perhaps there was uncertainty, but yet you knew who it was you were following, and so you trusted God in that situation. I know for our family, it was about 6 years ago almost. We've almost been here that long, believe it or not, when we moved from a little town called what? Montville, Connecticut, right? We got some folks from Montville today. All the way to Pendleton, New York. And I'll never forget, as the time got closer for us to move, A thought that continually rang through my head was this: when God says go, you can't say no. My dad's been there, he knows. And there has to be this trust that God, I don't know what awaits me there, but I know that you're calling me there. And so I'm going to walk by faith. And let's face it, you guys had to walk by faith too, because you didn't know me from Adam. And here is this guy, right, coming to Pendleton. It was an act of faith on your part as well. But you know what? Let me just say this. We may not know what the future holds, but as believers, we know the one who holds the future. We know the one who knows it and who controls it. And so we're called to trust unswervingly in our God. Well, let's look at a few ways in which Abraham exercised his faith. Just want to look at three ways this morning. Number one is sacrifice. As you read through the life of Abraham, you'll see that he lived a very sacrificial life. And probably an event that sticks out to most of us is what the day that God called him to offer up his own son Isaac as a sacrifice. And of course, that never happened, but his heart was willing to be obedient to God, to go that far, to sacrifice that much. His faith was that great in his God. And as you read through Genesis, you'll find Abraham often building an altar to the Lord. And you know what? Though that was a place of worship, a place of seeking the Lord, I'm sure that that altar was a sacrifice for Abraham. It must have cost him something to make that altar and worship the Lord. And true, genuine faith says, yes, it may cost me some time, it may cost me some money, it may cost me some energy, but it is for God. Abraham built an altar to who? To the Lord. Not himself, but to the Lord. Well, we don't know much about Abraham's life before God's call. But in Genesis 13, we read that Abraham was rich in livestock and gold and silver. It seems that before God called Abraham out of Haran, his life was pretty good, pretty comfortable. He had a lot of wealth, a lot of riches. It wasn't like he was struggling and said, man, I can't wait to get out of this place. And then God called him. No, it was a sacrifice for Abraham to leave his homeland. The Bible says that Abraham was 75 years old when he left. A lot can happen in 75 years, can it? A lot of relationships can be built. A lot of roots can be established in that homeland of Abraham. But yet God called him to go. And you know what? Though Abraham and Sarah did not have children yet, it's likely they had a lot of extended family. And they had a lot of friends that they would have left behind as they journeyed into Canaan. Verse 5 of Genesis chapter 12 says that they brought along their nephew Lot and their servants, those people that they had acquired. But really, that's about it as far as people go. Everybody else that they knew and loved was back in Haran. They had left that land in obedience to God. Well, in your life, is sacrifice a part of your faith? And you know what? That may mean different things to different people. For some of us, it may mean that we've moved away from family. Maybe those family ties that we once had that were really tight have now loosened a little bit. For some, it may be the time that you spend serving the Lord is a sacrifice. For others, it may mean the money that you give to the Lord is a sacrifice for you to do that. And if sacrifice is a part of your faith, let me just tell you this, it's a good thing. That's a good thing for sacrifice to be a part of your faith. But let me take it one step further. It's a good thing so long as you're glad that you can sacrifice. As long as you delight in sacrificing unto the Lord. Because let's face it, if you're miserable as you sacrifice, do you think God is pleased with that kind of sacrifice? I don't think so. God wants to see a joyful sacrifice in our lives. We need to check our motives when we sacrifice. We need to make sure our heart is right, that we have genuine and glad motives as we sacrifice to the Lord. We never want to say, thanks a lot, God. Because of you, I never get to see my family anymore. Or, thanks a lot, God. Because of all the time I spend serving you, I have no time to do what I want to do. Or, thanks a lot, God. Do you realize what I could be driving right now? Do you realize the house that I could be living in? Do you realize how many trips to Disneyland I could be taking if I didn't have to give you some of my money? Wrong motives. Bad sacrifice. God says, I want your sacrifice to be genuine. Let there be joy in your sacrifice. It's a privilege. Abraham considered it a privilege. It was a willing privilege, a willing joy. Abraham willingly sacrificed in this life because he was looking forward to the life to come, to the city that was to come, built by God. Let's look at number two. Number two is that Abraham's faith accepted the unknown. Hebrews 11:8 says that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham left Haran and he headed to the land of Canaan. And though Abraham knew that he was headed to Canaan, he did not know what was in Canaan, did he? Didn't know what to expect when he got there. And what's interesting, as you read through the account in Genesis, you find that one of the first things that Abraham finds as he enters the promised land, enters Canaan, is this: famine. He comes upon a famine. Imagine that. How would you deal with that? God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. You just can't wait to get to this land. And the first thing you find is your nephew saying, hey, Hunk, what's up? Isn't there a McDonald's around here somewhere? We're starving. How would you deal with that? It's interesting. That's so much of a parallel to what happened with Moses and the Israelites, didn't it? As Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land, what did the people say? Moses, where's the beef, right? Moses, where's the water? There was difficulties, there was trials, there was suffering and difficulties from point A to point B, wasn't there? As people walked by faith, as God tested the faith of the people. But yet Abraham trusted God, knowing that God would eventually bring him and use him to bring forth a great nation. Well, how about you? Does your faith accept the unknown? Or do you have to have everything planned out before you make a move? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't ever plan for the future. Proverbs says it's a wise thing to plan ahead, to plan for the future. That's a good thing. But what I'm saying is this: is your life so orchestrated, you've got everything mapped out, that there's no room for faith. There's no room for God to move you at all because you've already got everything. I've got my plans, God. I'm going this way. And there's no room for faith. There's nothing to trust God for because we've got it all planned out. Let me ask you some questions today. Do you believe that God is going to provide for you even if your 401k plan goes belly up? Do you believe God is still going to be with you? Do you believe that God still speaks to you and says, you know what, my child, I love you, even if you go through a difficult time, even if you lose your job, if you lose a loved one, if you come upon great illness, do you still trust that God loves you dearly and deeply? What will you do when you're looking for prosperity and God sends famine your way? Will you trust in God? Will you believe in God in adversity and difficult times? Number three is that God rewarded Abraham's faith. This is a theme that is in Hebrews chapter 11. Remember back in verse 6 that said, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And we looked at that truth of God rewarding his people based on the things that we do in this life. And Abraham knew that he was going to receive an inheritance. And what's so sweet about this inheritance is that this inheritance came from the hand of God. How many of you are looking forward to a nice earthly inheritance? Mom and Dad, what do you got planned for me? Huh? Something real big, huh? You know what? It's nice to receive an earthly inheritance. But how much greater is it to receive an inheritance from our Heavenly Father? And as believers, that ought to be a residing joy in our lives as we come to think about the inheritance that God has promised to you and I. Is it possible that many Christians today are so depressed and so gloomy because they don't think about the inheritance to come? They really don't look forward to heaven. They don't look forward to this inheritance in the promised land. Why? Because they're so rooted in this world. Their thoughts are so consumed with this world and what they may miss and not experience in this world that they don't even want to talk about heaven. They don't want to talk about what God has promised for the future. And that kind of thinking is foreign to the New Testament. Paul says to the Philippians, but our citizenship is in heaven. You know what? Heaven is our true home. That's where our hearts need to be. Colossians 3 says that we're to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things, not on the stuff of this earth and the stuff of this world. It's passing away. 1 John 2, John writes and says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Do you view this world and all the stuff in the world as just passing away, as temporary? Is your heart fixed upon things above or all things that are here and now? Well, next week, Lord willing, we will continue to look at Abraham's faith. We want to look a little deeper into his faith. But as we leave today, let me just ask you this. Is God calling to you? You may say, I can't relate to Abraham. God's not asking me to move to Timbuktu. Not knowing where I'm going, but is God calling you in maybe a different way to walk by faith? Maybe God's asking you to serve in a certain area. Maybe he's asking you to give in a certain way. Maybe he's asking you to share your faith to a particular person. Or maybe there's just a situation in your life where he's just asking you to deny yourself. You know, just stop thinking about yourself and making a name for yourself. Perhaps God is calling you to walk by faith in that area today and just to trust him and hold on to his hand and know that he's there and he's with you and he's going to walk with you through that. I urge you today to be like Abraham. Abraham who listened to the word of God. He heard the voice of God clearly. He obeyed God. He was willing to sacrifice for his God. And he knew that ultimately God would one day reward him with a great inheritance. And that's where his heart was. And today, if you're here and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, and that is the starting place of true, genuine faith, you must believe in Christ. You must repent of your sins. Turn away from the things of this world. All those worldly attractions that would lure you in and would give you temporary satisfaction. Turn away, the Bible says, from all those things and turn to Christ who bore your sin on the cross. Believe in him that he died for you, that he rose again. And God promises you this, an inheritance that's out of this world, that's amazing, that's awaiting for you. I hope that you all today have a great desire just to see Christ face to face. Man, anything that happens in this world is nothing compared to what I'm going to experience in the kingdom of God. This life and its troubles are so brief and so temporary, so short compared to the glory that we're going to experience in the kingdom of God. Are you ready for that? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Abraham, who, though he wasn't perfect and often tried to take matters into his own hands, Lord, he was still a man of faith, a man who trusted you, a man who believed your word and acted upon it. Father, help us all today to have that same faith. And Lord, we're all at different places today, and you may be speaking to each of us in different ways, and in ways in which we need to just step out in faith and believe you and trust in you. Father, give us that faith today to trust in your word and what it says, to know that your promises are true and that you're always there for us, Lord. Lord, we too thank you today for the promise of eternal life, of heaven, and the glory of what will come. Father, help us not to be so consumed with the things of this earth and the experiences of this earth that we forget to remember just the joy of heaven. Oh, Lord, may that joy just always abide with us as we remember and we think about what is to come. Help us, Lord, to focus on you and to set our minds on things above. And we just thank you, Lord, for your faithful love. In Jesus' name, amen.